Empower Radio presents The Miracle of Healing with Lisa Campion. Meet healers, learn different modalities, and hear empowering stories of people on their healing journey. The Miracle of Healing on Empower Radio. Here's your host, Lisa Campion.
Hello, I'm Lisa Campion, and this is The Miracle of Healing on Empower Radio, where conscious people come together to explore the world of healing and heal the planet, one person at a time. Today, I have a wonderful guest and a dear friend and mentor of mine, Sharon Wilsey, who's a horse whisperer and just wrote an amazing book called Horse Speak about the language that horses use and how their riders can learn it. But before we get to this fascinating topic, I wanted to talk a little bit about the word healing. What do we mean when we talk about healing? It's a funny word, and it means a lot of different things to a lot of different people. I'm a healer, but that's not something I say about myself very often, even though it's true, because what does it really mean? Maybe when you hear the word, you think of a shaman or a New Age teacher, you know, New Age Reiki kind of person. Or maybe you think of physicians or nurses healing sick people by using traditional allopathic medicines and diagnoses. Maybe you think of a voodoo priestess waving a chicken bone at someone. It's a word that has a lot of charge for many people and a lot of confusion for others, but it's really just a word. Underneath that word is a process that's the same in all of those cases. And in my experience of doing healing work for a really long time now, the healing happens when we become fully present for someone else's pain and we hold that space for them with grounded presence and heart-open compassion. That's the real ingredient of healing. When we're grounded, heart-opened, and really listening to someone else's experience and sharing that with them, healing happens. The delivery mechanism of that doesn't really matter, although it's really interesting, and it's the topic of my radio show here. The modalities we learn are just how we deliver those magic ingredients. So whether you're a therapist, an energy healer, a chaplain, a nurse, or even a first responder, you can be a healer by showing up with a lot of open-hearted compassion to witness someone else's pain. And I know that you've done that for someone, even if you've had no formal training as a healer. You've listened that way to one of your friends and maybe to a stranger. You've been that loving presence for someone right when they needed it the most. You have been a healing miracle for someone. I just know it. And that's a really beautiful thing. And actually, that's something that that today's guest has taught me a lot about. We're so lucky to have Sharon today. Sharon's a professional animal trainer and an animal rehabilitation expert who regularly works with horses for private clients and at equine rescues. She develops and teaches equine assisted learning programs at the high school and college level. She's also a Reiki master and a teacher. In fact, she was my Reiki master and teacher. And she runs Wilsey Way Horsemanship from her home base in Westminster, Vermont. And on top of all that, she's just published a book called Horse Speak. Welcome, Sharon.
Hi there.
I'm so glad you're on the show with me tonight.
This is very exciting. I'm really glad to be here.
Yay. So that's kind of a lot of cool things you do. Is there some way you can kind of boil that down and tell us in your own words what that's all about?
Well, the work that I do right now in the world with horses and people is largely about one main thing, and that is helping everyone to have the most authentic experience of their deep inner self that they can while in connection with each other. Now, that's one thing to say between people, but another thing to say between a human and a horse that can be upwards of 1,200 pounds.
Yeah, I think that's what's really remarkable about what you do. And as far as I know, how you do it is totally unique. And I've experienced not too long ago, like the summer, I was up at your home. Farm, you know, with my daughter, Genevieve, and we both got a taste of how you work with horses. It was so
yes.
Cool.
Yeah, that was really fun.
Yeah, that was really fun. And the most amazing thing about it to me that I think is so crazy cool is how you taught me that when you go into a ring with a horse, the horse totally mirrors what you're feeling.
Yes, they do. And now there's some interesting research coming out from different organizations, and you'll see it published sometimes on the internet, that says horses have feelings, or it turns out horses think, you know. So, and then there's me going, yes, horses are going to match and mirror your inner state much more than they're going to pay attention to your outer state, but they are watching you for signs of what's really going on inside. The reason for that is very simple. They're a prey animal, and we are meat eaters. So how a prey animal treats a meat eater is that they are going to be tuned in to, is that meat eater full and content, and you can walk by the lions? Or are those lions pretending to lay there, but they're actually hungry? And so that's the base instinct that's inside of a horse. And so if you show up and you're stirring, you're angry at your boss, or you know, you're just frustrated with your kid's performance at school, or whatever stories are going on in your head, the horse doesn't know why you're churning on the inside. They just know that something inside you doesn't feel right. And so my methods teach you a lot of very specific body language to engage with the horse, but it's a twofold experience, because as you practice body language, you also become more congruent, you become more present, you become more lined up with your inner state and your outer expression.
Well, yeah, I think that was what happened for me when we first did it together. Was like, I thought I was in an okay place, right? I'm like, oh no, I'm feeling fine, this is all good. And I got in the ring and the horse was jumping around, and I was like, oh, I must be actually afraid. Like, somewhere I was afraid and pretending I wasn't afraid.
Yeah.
Right. But you can't do that around a horse, right? Like, you can't pretend.
You can't pretend, and you can't, and you can fool yourself too. You cannot know that you're even there.
Right. I had no idea. I had no idea. I was like, I was really good at pretending I wasn't afraid.
Well, and you have a memory of riding horses when you were younger, and a lot of people that have worked with me are people who have come back to horses. You know, they used to ride and they come back to horses and they're shocked that they have fear. They're like, I don't ever remember, like, yeah, okay, I fell off a few times, but I don't ever remember anything that happened to make me feel afraid. And if people are coming to me, like, I have a horse, I look at it every day. I can't get on it, but I look at it every day.
Right. Wow. I know. And so is it that they're, like, when you talk about that instinct, are they psychic? Are they empathic? Is it totally animal instinct? Like, how do they do that?
Horses are, this is a twofold answer. On one hand, they're so extremely perceptive of what I call micro movements, which are the tiny, you know, if you say, I love you, there's tiny little flashes in your face, right? If you do stop action photography, that's really, really, really fast. They can show that, you know, anybody can like go on the internet and look at pictures of people's facial expressions. Well, horses see that and they read that, they interpret that faster than you know you're even doing it. So that's one thing. On another level, I believe that we've kind of conjured them to be as psychically open to us as we could possibly have an animal be, for the very fact that for thousands and thousands of years, we would sit on them and go places for days and days at a time. And if your horse isn't tuned into you on that level, you can really get in a lot of problems.
So they want, it's like they want to be in communication with us.
Yeah, they've been cultivated to open their third eye to us. That's what I believe. I've seen it happen so many times, and even, you know, riders and trainers who are like straight out of the, you know, the normal track, you know, like you would never catch them saying a word like energy, you know, but they will say something mysterious happens. And so everybody mm-hmm. knows it. And then if you can go in and be with a horse and be willing to let them coach you. I mean, that's the big thing, is you have to be willing to put your ego aside if you're going to let that bridge, is a bridge between our two species. And if you're going to let that bridge unfold, you have to be willing to let your guard down.
And is that part of the reason why it's so healing? Because I know you use that connection to do healing work with people.
For me, it's an amazing experience to watch a horse. I recently had a couple over here, and they had gone through some tragedy, and they had lost their child, and they had come up for some healing work, and so I brought them out to the whole herd of horses, and I just let the horses select who was going to work with who and what were they going to do. And every mare in my herd surrounded the mother. They just surrounded her. And the one male who's in with this particular herd, he set it up so that the guy would walk beside him. And before you know it, they were completely isolated from each other. So the guy took the guy and the girls took the girl. And I didn't play. I didn't know that was going to happen. And just watching how the horses worked with them and how they decided how it was going to be. And then at a certain point, it switched. And the mares all surrounded the husband, and the male came over to the wife. And so, you know, it was very interesting watching the horses just do their thing and be able to interpret for the people what the horses were suggesting. And, you know, and every time I would say, oh, I think they mean this and I think they mean that, you know, the couple would just sort of smile and say, yeah, that's what I was feeling too.
And how would that couple, like, how did they experience that as a healing, do you think?
Well, they felt like as a couple, they needed to refocus and get some direction back. I mean, losing a child is tremendously painful. And they were doing really great as a couple, but they just felt like they didn't know where to go, what to do. And so that's what horses do. They go somewhere, they do something, you know, they're always like, oh, I'm going to go here and have that hay. I'm going to go there and have some water. I'm going to go there and sleep in that sunny spot. And it might seem small to us, but they're very direct in their thinking. And so they encouraged the people to seek comfort in different ways. Like the mares encouraged the woman to just get very quiet. They just, mm-hmm. they surrounded her and they became very, very quiet, and they directed her to be able to go within, because I think it was still really painful and really hard. And so they gave her that, like, something to lean on so she could go within and feel. And the gelding, he took the guy and basically said, get on me. And so I gave him a set of reins and got him on the horse, and they just walked around together and spent some time going here and going there in the pasture, and just getting some focus, you know, and some enthusiasm, some energy, some life force back. But that was totally the gelding's choice. I mean, he went and he put his face on his halter and looked at me and said, this is what we need here.
Wow. And I know you've done this work a lot with students that have learning disabilities.
Yes.
And what happens for those students?
Well, I ran a course for several years at a college, and I also worked at a therapeutic riding center, and I worked with some all kinds of kids, some from the Brattleboro retreat and some from other programs and different ages. And basically, when students are coming to me because they have some troubles that they're trying to overcome, or they have learning disabilities, I start from scratch because they are younger. And so I start from scratch with explaining to them the very, very basics. Like, there is a bubble of personal space around the horse. Don't invade their personal space. But you can ask to go inside their bubble of personal space and make friends with them. Now, for a lot of kids, this is a big deal, because it means to them, hey, you have a bubble of personal space too, and you can be respected in it. And so I set it up so that they are mutually respecting each other. And for kids, just that alone can be incredibly empowering. But they go through the entire system of learning how to say hello, learning how to create calm if the horse gets spooked. They take emotional responsibility for the horse's well-being, meaning I have a joke in my class. I say, the kid with the horse who looks like he's about to fall asleep wins. And so, not, you know, don't soldier through getting your horse around the riding ring and walking over that obstacle course and, you know, just make it through and just do it any way you can. No, stop and put your horse to sleep. If you're that stressed or he's that stressed, stop and take care of the stress first. That's how you get through this class.
So it sounds like they have to learn how to manage their inner self.
Exactly.
And then the horse reflects whether they're doing that or not.
Yes.
So they have like an instant like feedback on where their emotional state is.
Exactly. Exactly.
It's so cool. So
It's great. It's very, for me, very rewarding. And the students don't necessarily realize that that's the skill they're learning. They think they're learning it just to help the horse.
Right.
But of course, they get the benefit.
Wow. And can you give us like some examples of how the body language works? Like, tell us a little bit more about what that's about.
Sure. Well, human beings use language. Like right now we're talking on the phone. We don't even have to be looking at each other. And animals, all animals, don't use verbal cues for their main aspect of communicating with each other. They have some verbalization, but that's not the primary way that they communicate. It's an accent, really. All animals have extreme awareness of what their bodies are doing and how they're doing it. And so how a horse approaches you, for instance, if he nods his head before he approaches, and he literally said, "May I come into your personal space?" If he approaches with his head very high and kind of speeding over, he's panicking and he's saying, "I'm going to merge with your personal space because I'm freaking out and I want to hide behind you." And so if you don't know that, you might think that the horse with the high head who's running over really likes you. And this is a good thing, when actually it's a panicky horse who wants to merge with you. And that could be a difficult thing.
Right. Wow. That's so interesting. So you learn, you know, and that's what your book is about, right? Is sort of teaching this language to people so they can understand what their horse is telling them.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's a step-by-step. We call it the 12 easy steps of, learning the processes and everything from facial cues, you know, like if the ear does this, it means that. If the eye does this, it means that, all the way through to the fine tuning of how you can mimic. You know, our ears don't swivel, right?
Right.
We're shaped vertical, horses are shaped horizontal. So there's some very big differences, but how can you mimic a close enough physical response that the horse says, "Oh, I think I know what you mean." And sometimes you have to practice because you have a funny accent and they're not exactly sure what you mean. But every horse I've ever done this with, and there have been some horses that I've never met before that are maybe even in a dangerous state of hyper anxiety where they've been kicking and biting people, who respond to this within a matter of minutes, literally. And are so grateful to have a human talk to them in their own language that they instantly start going, all these things on my mind and I've been really worried about it. And they just start blah, 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 blah. They have so much to say, you know, and they've been biting and kicking because they feel like I'm in a foreign country and no one knows language and I'm freaking out.
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, I think that's what we do when we're not understood, right?
Totally.
And it's really different. What you're talking about is really different from animal communication, right? So there's psychics that specialize in like psychically communicating with animals, but this is different.
This is different. And that was my point, is that I wanted to create something that anybody can approach and anybody can have a direct experience. Now, depending on how intuitive you might be, you might take the basic skills that I'm teaching you and this whole other world opens up. You know, you might have this incredible intuitive experience, and someone else who's maybe not so intuitive, but maybe they're really empathic, maybe they have this whole feeling world open up, or someone who's neither, you know, they're sort of just consider themselves a regular Joe, they're going to have a lovely, lovely, lovely connection. And so the point of this book was to make it accessible, because animal communicating is really something that requires a certain amount of training.
It's like a specialized psychic gift that very few people actually have.
Yeah. And I think it's very tricky. I have experienced some animal communication that was really great right on, and I've experienced some that I just walked away kind of scratching my head. So I think it's a tricky one, too, because what I've experienced in animals is, if you want to break it down into the spiritual and you know, sort of corporeal realm, on a spiritual realm, the animal may have, you know, like an oversoul, a big thought form, you know, something that's larger that you can reach to and communicate with, that a communicator could talk to. But on the base realm, on the corporeal realm, here and now, they have their small self, and that self just wants to, you know, poop.
or eat.
You know, that self just has some small ideas about what's really going on. And you can talk to, or a person could talk to, the big self, but that may not that necessarily translate through to the small self. They don't always link, or the thoughts of the big self might not be as useful to, okay, well, now I know that my horse really thinks that he was the king of Egypt in a past life, but I still can't lead him to his paddock.
Right. Yeah. So, I mean, I think it's probably really, you know, I know a lot of people since I grew up with riding horses myself, that a lot of people who own horses get really frustrated because they can't make their horse do what they want to do, or they're really upset that their horse is horses can be pretty neurotic and have really bad behaviors and be really disappointing and upsetting to their owners who just want to love them and have a good time.
You know, that's a really good point that you bring up. And I think I address that. I think I do a good job of addressing it. I hope so, in the book, of how can you tell if your horse loves you? Because that is one of the main problems. And people will dress it up and present it in a million different ways. You know, well, he won't do this, he won't do that, he doesn't do this, he doesn't do that. But really it comes down to, I don't think he loves me. Mm. And what's going on with that is that horses have a completely different way of demonstrating affection and bonding than cats and dogs do. Mm. So if a horse is really bonded with you, they give you space, because space is the most important thing to them.
Wow.
Knowing that their space is protected is how they survive. If, you know, you go out to a herd of Mustangs, they're very concerned about their space. They probably saw you 3 miles down the bayou there. So when a horse really cares about you, they're going to step over a little bit and give you some space, or they're going to turn their head to the side. So they might greet you and then they'll turn their head away from you because they're saying, I'm giving you some space. They're also maybe allowing you in towards their shoulder. You know, we could get connected here. Horses prefer to start grooming on the neck and shoulder, not on their face. They don't, that's very invasive. There are some horses who people call them giant puppy dogs, and they'll rub their head all over you, but that's actually an adaptation where the horses realize, wow, people like it when I'm really bossy and pushy with my head. For some reason, they think that I like them, so I guess I'll just do that. But it's not actually really normal for them as a first choice.
So it seems like there's a lot of potential for miscommunication, because we would miscommunicate that if they turn their head away, we think, oh, my horse doesn't like me.
Exactly. Exactly. And I've seen that. I've been in clinics with it, or I've been on, you know, a house call, or I can't tell you how many hundreds of times I see the horse move away, give the person space deliberately and on purpose as a kindness, as a way of saying, I like you so much, here, you can have this space. And the person says, see, he doesn't like me. You know, we're like,
Well, some of the work that I think that you do that's amazing is the rescue work.
Yeah, that has been really tremendous.
It's beautiful. I think that you, you know, the rescuing and rehabilitation that you do, and it, you know, people who love animals, I think that's sort of a miracle that, you know, I think what you do is a miracle, that you're bridging this gap, this species between species, so that there can be harmony between species. It's really amazing.
Thank you. Thank you. Doing rescue work. I mean, I'm not the facility that goes to the kill pens and buys the horse, you know, rescues the horse at auction. And but I'm the person that has been able to show up and say, all right, let's come up with a rehabilitation plan so this horse can get adopted. Or, you know, I usually get called in for the ones that are so hard to deal with that everybody's scratching their head, and maybe they're really dangerous or maybe they're really frightened. But it's the horse that nobody else wants to deal with. You know, that's my lucky strike, and it's to deal with those horses. But they've taught me so much, because you can't approach them the way you would approach any other animal, really. And knowing that, you know, this horse is, might be defending his, in his mind, defending his life just because I showed up. And, you know, what I've said to volunteers when I do volunteer trainings is, how does the horse know he's been rescued? All he knows is he's in another barn.
Hmm. Well, that's so beautiful. And can you, and for the people that are listening that want to get in touch with you, how do they do that? What's your website?
My website is www.willseewayhorsemanship.com. So that's my name and way. So Willseeway. And my email is my name, just SharonWillsey@gmail.com.
Wow. Thank you so much, Sharon, for being with us today. I think it's, you know, it's really, I hope that your book does great, and, you know, that you can really continue to help people connect with their horses and bring that kind of beauty into the world. And I wanted to thank all of you guys out there tonight for joining me and Sharon on Miracle of Healing here on Power Radio, where we are healing the planet one person at a time.